The UTEP Department of Theater and Dance presents a virtual dance concert called Here, Moving Through the Pandemic and for Social Justice. We can all tune in tonight to watch Here from the comfort of our own home. Here is curated by Melissa Melpignano and features the works of several dancers. Here to tell us all about it is Melissa Melpignano. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me here.
So, Melissa, this is the first time that I get to talk to you, and I'm always intrigued when we have new and amazing people in our community. And I know you told me you've been here almost 2 years, but will you tell us about yourself and your journey to El Paso?
Yes. So, first of all, I'm having a very nice time as a human being living in El Paso. I found a very welcoming and warm community. And so for that, I'm very grateful. Yet the journey to arrive here has been long. And I'm originally from Italy, and I lived in different countries and continents, and all of that for dance. I moved to London to study contemporary dance when I was 18. Then I moved to France to dance and study there. Then I moved back to Italy, then to Switzerland. Then I moved to LA, where I got my PhD at UCLA in dance, culture and performance. And then I found a job here at UTEP, and here I am. I live periodically in the Middle East because my research is on Israel and Palestine. So I research borderlands in my scholarship, and therefore I was very eager to come work here on this borderland too.
Yeah, I mean, talk about the borderlands. I mean, it's, you're in it for sure.
Yeah, and although every borderland and every geopolitical context is different, there are some similarities, some similar concerns among communities and dense communities that live on the borders. So my research on Israel and Palestine greatly intersects with the work I do here with the dance students, with teaching dance at the university and collaborating with various dance communities here.
So what would you say we have in common with Israel and Palestine?
Obviously, very different context again, but conflicts, identitarian conflicts, issues of belonging, claims and reclaims of identity are some of the common aspects. But also what I love to underline the most is how dance and performance at bridge communities that sometimes at the political, infrastructural, administrative levels are kept distanced, or communities that from all these superstructural levels are not allowed to share that much. Well, very often the performing arts, just because they invest so much in the presence and the energy of the bodies, allows to bridge these administrative and political distances.
Yeah, right. It's beautiful how we find this commonality through the arts, through music, through dance in your, from where you're coming from, but kind of gets rid of all that other mumbo jumbo if you're able to connect the arts, which is beautiful.
In the fall, I taught a seminar on dance in Israel and among Jewish communities. And I must say that my students, some live in El Paso, some live in Juarez, and some were also in other parts of Mexico, they all found a lot of commonalities between the concerns that emerged from dance in Israel and Palestine and the dances that they have experienced, or just the live experiences that they have had through the lens of dance.
Okay, so let's talk about this, because here we are with a virtual dance performance and concert that you've put together. What's that like, dancing through a pandemic, bringing people together through dance in a pandemic?
Yes.
Yeah. What's that like?
So, first of all, let me specify that we are very happy to offer this concert for our communities, the students, but also the general audience that usually love to come to the UTEP theaters. It's the first dance concert after over 1 year. And yes, the pandemic has hit the performing arts so heavily, not just here in the US, but all over the world. And our project to stage performances in the spring got canceled. We also had to host a festival and that got canceled. Our graduating students had to perform in their spring capstone concert and we had to cancel. But this is an opportunity to get back to stage through a different modality. And I think it's very productive. And for all those that will watch the show on February 6th at night, they will see that dance made for the screen is a very interesting way of having a poetic, detailed look at dancing bodies. I think that the screen is a very, very important opportunity for us to show a side of dance that usually in live performances we don't see.
Do you think in this other way, it might also even broaden the audience outside of, who fits in that performance space?
So let me just say that, first of all, there is a new way of seeing the body. Therefore, the screen can welcome also bodies that either have been excluded or felt excluded from the more traditional theatrical setting. But also, it's a great way for us and for all the people involved in the production to have an international outreach. Just because some of our artists in the performance are international artists, we do know that their colleagues, friends, families, people interested in their work, we reach and we watch the show from all over. From Europe, from Asia, from Africa, from Latin America, and so on, and from Europe as well. So we are very excited. It's probably the first time that we managed to broaden so much our dance audience.
And talking to a lot of performers through this, so we never stopped doing the show through the pandemic. We've been talking to creatives this entire time. And a common theme is, especially those in the performing arts, you feel a little sidelined. But I have to believe in my heart that dancers are still dancing, even if it's not on the stage. Is that the case?
Absolutely. We never stop dancing. And I honestly think that we can't. So, actually, during the pandemic, there has been a proliferation of digital dances. That's something I also love to teach to my students, the importance of dancing in the digital world. Just all the dance challenges and dance videos on TikTok and Instagram. It has been a great venue for many to experiment with a different way of delivering dance and also to practice dance. I have friends, dance scholar friends, whose research is about intimacy in dance. And the pandemic has given us all a chance to reflect upon how we live our domesticity, how we move in our houses, and how we conceive intimacy, as a relationship with ourselves and with the intimate environments that we inhabit. And I taught a choreography class in the fall, and the students at the end had to choreographically think about their bedrooms and about their house environment. So, how can you transform your bedroom, not just in your bedroom, but into a performance space that has something to say that is not just the function that it normally has, meaning to host you for restoring, sleeping, and so on.
So what did you find with those? Any commonalities? Now I'm curious. How are people moving and expressing themselves in their
Well,
homes?
it is a good question because the outcomes are very different because students were like performers, as I love to call them, because they shouldn't stop to think about themselves as students and think about themselves as dance artists and practitioners. Each student has a different take on an environment, on dance, on technique. And for some, the bedroom, the house during the pandemic became a refuge. Something where they could feel safe while outside there was the virus and maybe risky jobs and so on. For others, it became a way to process and de-traumatize maybe the restriction, the sense of oppression that they felt by being confined in the house, because let's always remember that not everybody feel comfortable in the house, in a closed environment. So either it was a discovery to heal or a discovery to expand the dimension of one's own house.
And even more complicated, right? I mean, I think I felt both of those ways all the time. I either love being home or I'm like, get me out of here.
Yeah. And it was very nice when students shared their compositions, their short choreographic pieces. They were relating to one another in a way that, you know, being all at home was very hard throughout the semester. So sharing performance is also a great way to share the complexity of our humanity. That's something that I always like to underline.
So take us to here, because you've got some great dancers lined up. How did you come up with this program and with the performers that you chose?
I curated the show. I wanted to affirm something. The title is not random. Here is exactly what we are saying. Here we are, despite the pandemic, despite the difficulties, despite the political turmoil that we have all have experienced, no matter of the political beliefs, it was a turmoil for many of us. Here is a way to affirm our presence, our bodies, our art, our need to still connect and channel our emotions and our thoughts through dance practice and by sharing the force of our bodies with our communities. I think that the subtitle of the concert, Moving Through the Pandemic and for Social Justice, kind of summarizes what the past months have been for many of us. As dance artists, we are all projected in society. And some believe that artists have a sort of ethical obligation to give our take on the world. And I always encourage to my students to think about what we do in the world with our practices. So the first part of the program is about connecting ways through which our artists have tried to connect to the environment, to the city of El Paso, which is greatly present in our works, and to the audience as well through dance. The second part is called mobilizing, and it tackles some important social justice issues, and that's also where our special guest El Rod is featured. And there's a final piece that reiterates the importance of connecting in an intimate way, and I just don't want to see more because I hope people will. Listeners will see.
Yes, see for ourselves. So for us listening today on Saturday, we can tune in tonight at 7 p.m. to see it. How do we access it? I know it's on your YouTube channel. Is that correct?
Yes, it's going to be live at 7 p.m. on the Department of Theater and Dance YouTube channel.
So there you have it. We're all invited to witness the show that is here, brought to us by Melissa Melpignano. So much fun talking to you. It's so great to get to meet you. What's the word for dancers? Merit, right?
It is.
Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.